Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, God is impacting people's lives, and that is something that we don't always know or understand. And sometimes, you know, we come in on Sundays and we go out, and you know, maybe different events during the week or as they come through. So we're not always all able to know what God is doing in other people's lives. And certainly, if you're a member, you're part of the team's network, and so we're all, you know, in there interacting and sharing. And God is doing different things in different people's lives. And I think that it's important for us to understand that so that when we're out there, you don't feel like you're all alone. Because it's really easy to get caught up in the world and be in a place where you're trying to make a stand for what is right, but everybody else around you is doing the exact opposite thing that God would have us to do. It's not easy to stand in that kind of environment. And so we want to empower you to be able to do that. Because in here, we're all together, and it's like, rah, hallelujah. But when you go out there, it's not that easy. And so we want to encourage you today on helping you to understand the importance of picking up your mantle and becoming polished arrows and being able to accomplish the things that God has called you to do. And so back in July, we talked about hope, liberty, and truth. And Pastor Raphael shared some important things with us. And I'm going to turn it over to him. And he's going to kind of share with us what God has summarized for him regarding his topic.
Okie dokie.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. I had to start really low with my voice because I realized as soon as I turned the microphone on that this is dangerously loud for someone like me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to blow everybody's eardrums out the second I started to talk. My guys in the back, you guys know what I'm talking about. And if you're my youth, you definitely know what I'm talking about. But praise God. I'm going to grab that from you real quick. Is that all right? Well, praise God. We talked about hope, liberty, and truth. And one of the theme that I had preached on that day was life, liberty, and the pursuit of Jesus. Right? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of Jesus. And what I wanted to talk about, or the verse that I wanted to bring to you, it was right here. It says, "But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' And they answered him, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch.' So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish." And in verse 7, there it is. "Therefore, the disciples from whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on and threw himself into the sea." He was stripped down because he was working on the boat. And he threw his stuff on and he just jumped into the water. And context is an important part of this verse, right? We know that this verse took place after he had denied Jesus three times during the time of the crucifixion. And the way that this ends is really the key to this part of the scripture. It says, "But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal pile already laid, and Jesus placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have now caught.'" Now, the reason I wanted to share this particular part of the scripture, right, and I'm going to stop at 10, is Peter had a choice to make after a decision he had already made. He had denied Jesus three times. Mm-hmm. And then right after he denied Jesus the third time, it says that Jesus and Peter made eye contact. Right. And I don't know about you, but I know that when my parents looked at me after I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, I can hear the words. They didn't have to even say it. They say, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. And that's even worse than them being, sometimes I would just be like, Dad, Mom, can you just hit me? Because it's even worse when I hear, I'm just disappointed. And it was at that very moment that Peter and Jesus lock eyes, and then the crow crows, and then Peter remembers, oh no, what Jesus said I was going to do is exactly what I did, even though I was like, never me, Lord, never me. It's not, right? We all say that. It can happen to me. I'll never do something like that. But Peter at that moment realized, man, even I denied Jesus 3 times. And each time he denied, it was worse and worse and worse. But it was at this moment when he saw Jesus, he realized Jesus was at the shore. Another decision had to be made. Do I live the life that the devil tries to make us live, where we say, I've sinned, I've fallen too far from Jesus, why would he want anything to do with me? Or do we, when we recognize Jesus now is on the shore, jump in the water and say, Lord, I've been away for too long. He jumps in the water and he just, right at it didn't matter what he did. All he knew is that he saw Jesus, he needed Jesus, and he needed to get to him as soon as possible.
Right.
We all fall short. Mm-hmm. But what determines the outcome is what we do next. Right? We can live a life where we just continue to just beat ourselves up and chastise ourselves, you know, with right. Or we can come to the understanding, you know what? I messed up.
Right.
But I need Jesus now today more than ever, right? And today's back to church Sunday.
Right.
Yeah. Today's back to church Sunday. And, you know, I just want to share something real quick with regards to this little aluminum foil cube. My students in the youth ministry know that Pastor Raphael, he starts pulling stuff out. They're like, what's he going to preach about now with that simple object? So I want to, this is something that one of my youth gave me 2 years ago. 2 years ago. You would never think that someone would save a piece of aluminum foil for 2 years. Unless you're in my house. And I find little pieces of aluminum foil in the fridge all the time. Why? I don't know. But I don't ask questions. But this particular piece of aluminum foil is important to me because the student gave it to me. And when the student gave it to me, they said, Pastor Raphael, I made this cube out of aluminum foil and I have a question for you. And I was like, what's your question? And the student said, can you turn it into a circle? Can you turn it into a perfect sphere? I said, I don't know, but I sure will try. So I did, you know, at first I was like, it's going to be easy. It's aluminum foil, right? And I'm like, this is not budging at all.
Right.
And so I was like, I'll get back to you. It's been 2 years. I put pliers on it. Everything that I could do with this thing, it would not budge. A little bit here and there, it just would not move. No matter what I did, the base of it being a cube always remained. And why do I share that with you? Because God has created something, and that's you. And the enemy, the world, is going to apply as much pressure as it can in your life. But God has given you the ability to withstand the pressure. And no matter how much the world pushes on you, no matter how many times you think you've messed up, no matter how many times it is that you think that you've been dented, bruised, battered, broken, it doesn't matter. There's a core that God has put in you. And only you can decide whether or not you're going to let the world determine that you're too broken to be used, or you're going to let God decide. It doesn't matter how broken or how beat up or how much I tried to get molded and into whatever the enemy wants to mold me into. God molded me in my mother's womb.
Right.
God sent his son to die for me on that cross.
Right.
And so just like this aluminum foil cube, no matter how much I pushed and pushed and pushed, it would not change because it was set in its ways.
Right.
It knew what it was. Right. My question is, do you? Do you know who you are?
Right.
Do you know that you've been purchased? Mm-hmm. And do you know how much you need Jesus and how much he wants you?
Right. Right. Amen. You know, what's so awesome is that, you know, we get stuck on our mistakes and on the things we do wrong. But we can't get stuck on them. We have to learn from them. And the idea is to learn and then move forward. Once you learn from your mistake, it's gone. It's mm-hmm. over unless you hold on to it. And so if you can get free of that burden that comes upon us when we make a mistake or we do the wrong thing, and sometimes we do things intentionally, sometimes we do things and we don't realize it. They call that omission and commission, right? That's the theological terms for that. And, you know, when we find ourselves in those situations, we have to always remember Christ died for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
For this, not only your sins, the sins of the whole world. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's because Jesus paid the sin debt. So when you receive the gift, your debt, what Christ did is attributed to you.
Amen.
So whenever you sin, it's not that you're going to hell now because you sinned. It's that you're hindered because of your sin, but you're not hellbound because of your sin. Mm. Because Jesus paid your sin debt. And he covers them. They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and he doesn't remember them anymore. So it doesn't matter what happens, God always sees you through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposing you've been born again, mm-hmm. all right? You know, if you've been born from above, if you've been born of God, you, old things are passed away and everything is made new. The only thing that stays are the things we hold on to. And so we're living our lives trying to get free of ourselves because mm-hmm. we're the ones causing the problems for our own selves. And it doesn't help us that Satan is trying to remind us of our past.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there as the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says, accusing us every time we do something wrong to keep our wrong always before us. And we have to be able to get the wrong behind us so that we can move forward. We will suffer the consequences of our sin, because when you do the wrong thing, you produce a wrong result.
Mm-hmm.
What you sow, you will reap. You can't unchange. That's a law of the spirit that cannot be changed. And so when you sin, it will have an effect on your life. But it should not have an effect on your identity, on who you are. And you should be able to rise up and persevere and move forward. And that's why Peter mm-hmm. was so excited to see Jesus. The fact that Jesus came around like he always did, he forgave him
yep.
and he received him and he blessed him with a lot of fish. Jesus said,
yep.
you know, you guys haven't caught any fish, have you?
Yep.
And they were like, no, how'd you know, pretty much is the way it phrases out, right? And so, you know, Jesus knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows when we're able to catch fish. He knows when we can't. He knows when we're successful. He knows when we fail. He knows all those things, but he never stops loving us.
That's right.
He cares for us the whole time. And that's why he keeps coming to us. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. We just have to respond to God and not our flesh and not what other people say. The
Amen.
World never tells the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Never. Governments don't tell the whole truth.
Well, no.
People don't tell the whole truth. That's just not the way the world works. But God, he tells the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan wants you to believe half of the truth
mm-hmm.
or part of the truth. That's what he does so that you can get stuck or you can lose faith or you can be discouraged or you can be thrown off.
And, you know, when it comes to sin in the person who saved life, right? I've had some of the kids come up to me and they ask me, like, well, how do I know that I'm saved if I still sin, kind of a deal? Well, the main difference is that when you're saved and you sin, it leads to conviction. When you sin, it brings you closer to Jesus. Right. At least it should draw you closer to Jesus, because you realize I did something wrong and I need someone to help me. When you sin and you're like, c'est la vie.
Right.
No, now we got a problem.
Right.
Now we got a problem, right? And as we go through the trial and tribulations in our life, verse 11, it says that when they went and drew up the net to the land, it says it was full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn, right?
Right.
So when we go through life and we've received the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we seek the forgiveness of Jesus in that process, God blesses us in that trial, in that tribulation. And what I love about this is the fact that when they got the fish and Peter jumped into the water, he left the boat. If we read the entirety of the story, and I encourage you guys to read the entirety of the story, we know that it was Peter who told the disciples, I'm going to go fish. And then they tagged along. So it was Peter's boat.
Right.
Peter wanted to go fishing. So when the fish came up, who had the right to the fish?
Right.
It was Peter.
Right.
But he left that blessing because he knew there was a bigger blessing at the shore.
Right.
We get so focused in what we have that we don't realize that God has more for us, you know?
Amen.
And not every blessing that we receive is for you. Most of the blessings that we receive, if we're living this life right, is for somebody else,
right?
Right. And I don't know how many times God has blessed my family, and we get excited, and it's not because, oh man, God did something in our lives. It's because God did something in our life so that we could do something in someone else's life.
Right.
You know, and that's the way that we have to live. That's the way that we have to continue to move forward as we have that life, liberty, and the pursuit of Jesus.
Right. Yeah, and you know, and that's why jealousy has no place in the Christian's life. Because God blessed him, you ought to rejoice because he just blessed you too. Because if he got it, you got it.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Hallelujah. And so that's the awesome thing about serving the Lord. Yeah. Is that, you know, we're all one. We're all connected. Where the need rises up, God has somebody who is able to fill in the gap. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to ask, are there any questions? We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask, does anybody have a question? Lydio.
Lord, give us an answer.
Oh, he was waving. All right, he didn't have a question. Anybody else? Anybody have a question? Okay, as we go along, we're going to let you ask questions today. How about that? And so if you think of anything, or, you know, you can just, you know, raise your hand. And these guys hopefully have the mics already on, and they'll come over to you and make it easy. All right.
Here you go, sir.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. So we understand that God has created us knowing everything that's going on in the world. The things that are happening in the world are not a surprise to God. And because God is aware, he's already got a plan. He already has a plan in place. And that's why it doesn't matter what we see happening. We can trust that God is already working out a way for us to succeed, right? Isn't that why? That's why the scripture says, you know, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
So there's only two stipulations there. Number one, that you love God. And two, that you're living your life according to the will of God and not according to your own will. So once you apply that principle, there's a spiritual dynamic that shifts. You see, this goes back to the whole concept of the two realms, and the realm of the spirit and the realm of the created world, the realm of humanity. When you operate according to the rules of the kingdom of heaven and of God, the ways or the spiritual dynamics of God's kingdom, the realm of God, opens up for you in your life. Mm. So you now have a multidimensional experience rather than a fallen world experience. You have a heavenly realm experience.
Amen.
This is why it's important to obey the word of God. And this is where you will see the manifestations of God. A lot of times people, they do all the religious stuff. They pray, they read their Bibles, they go to church, they do all this stuff. But they're not walking in the ways of the kingdom. They're not applying kingdom principles. They have a carnal mind. And when you have a carnal mind, the word of God says that leads to death. So you cannot have a carnal mind, even as a born-again Christian, and still have a kingdom experience in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why Romans is so emphatic. Paul's saying to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because if you're thinking like a typical Roman and you're approaching your life like a typical Roman, you're going to miss all of the benefits of being a child of God, born of the Spirit of God. And so this is a principle we have to grasp. And I hope you guys are understanding this. I mean, we talk about it a lot. But I mean, I it's important because it's the difference between life and death in your life experience. It's the difference between having an experience like the people in the world or having a divine covering where God is able to bring you through stuff. And this is why when you look at stories like Noah, you see God delivered Noah after preaching 120 years. The world still rejected what he was saying because they didn't want to believe what he was saying was true. They had their own beliefs. They had their own ideas, and they refused to believe. So Jonah is preaching and building an ark, right? He starts building an ark. Of course, people are asking questions. Why are you building an ark when the river is way over there somewhere? It's miles away. And he's saying, it's going to rain. He says, that's crazy. There's no such thing as rain, right? And so he's building this huge, big ark. They think he's a fool. But when it starts raining and the waters start to rise and the floods start to come, now all of a sudden they become believers. But it's too late, right? Because God has closed the door and the ship has sailed. Hallelujah. And that day is coming again. When Christ returns, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the same mindset. The same mindset as the people in Noah's day. All of these things that we see going on in the world is a precursor to what is to come. And this is why we have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to renew our minds. And we cannot let Satan distract us or get us hung up on petty foolishness. Mm-hmm. We have to really grab hold of this. And that's what we're trying to help everyone in our church to understand and to grasp. And so this time I'm going to share another testimony, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Michal, and he's going to share what God has given him.
All right. So I was asked how CGF has impacted my life. From the beginning, it's impacted my life in a sense where it's given me family. You know, a lot of people go by the belief that blood is family. But in OCGF, I've learned that the family that I have in OCGF is brought to me by the blood of Christ. Mm. And to make me a man, to make me a believer, and to follow through and then being here, seeing the children are being impacted by OCGF, has impacted me as well, because now I see the future of our church being raised up. So it's impacted me tremendously, because now I know, even though I'm now stepping into the leadership, it's given me a role that I know to raise up and to continue empowering these children the same way OCGF has empowered me into following Christ.
Mm. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. All right, so last month, I guess, I didn't preach.
Right.
Lord, give me a reprieve this time, so, you know, which I was happy about. I got to enjoy listening to two other people teach, Dave Ogren and
Matt Adams.
Yeah, yeah. So praise God. But this is again, Occupy the House, and to me, that's an awesome title, I guess, for a sermon. So as I was going over and even going over what Pastor Dave and Matt shared with us, you know, the Lord brought me to John, the Gospel of John. So I'm just gonna read that, and then I'll kind of share what the Lord put on my heart about that. So this is when Jesus was coming up for Passover to the temple. So the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" And Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had spoken. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men, and because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. So praise God, as we read this through, you know, so often we have this view of Jesus, number one, that he was this gentle prophet, that as he walked through, the land of Israel, teaching, that he was this soft, and he was a soft, gentle teacher. But when it was needed, he was also a man of conviction, right? Mm. And I believe that you know, so often we fail to actually see that in our lives, or live according to that in our lives. I'm not talking about going out and beating people. I'm not talking about that. I don't even think that Jesus even touched anybody with these, but just used the scourge to drive them out. You know what I'm saying? But as a show of his zeal and his passion for that time. But it's the same thing for us. So often we get this call from God, and we sit back and we kind of wait for God to open up all the doors for us. And yes, there is a period that we have to wait on God, and all that is plausible, and all that is a good plan to have. But when God opens the doors for us, we have to actually walk through them.
Mm. Amen.
And so often we're not in the place to recognize God opening those doors. Because we've come to a place where we're like in this fast food almost mentality, where we come before God and we spend 10 minutes before him, and we think now that's good for my filling, you know?
Right.
But it's just
right.
Like eating McDonald's or any of the other fast food joints. You know, you take it for a little while and you feel hungry again very soon afterwards, or you feel sick, one or the other. It's not nutritious for your body, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the same thing with God. If we just simply take that 5-10 minutes, or you know, in the morning, say a quick prayer before we leave our house, or we say some quick prayer before we eat, or even you know, we do take a 10-minute devotion before the Lord, but that's all us showing up before God. That's not us waiting on the Lord. That's not us sitting there waiting for God to give us instructions. So how will we know what to be zealous about and what to be waiting for unless we hear that from God? You know what I'm saying? Jesus, he was here. He knew what God's house was meant to be. And you know, it was awesome, because this wasn't just a one-time effect that Jesus had as he drove the people out of the temple, right? He was almost making showing an example for his disciples, not just for the present, but for the future also, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was doing an object lesson, if you will,
yes.
Driving people out of a physical temple.
That's right.
So that they would realize that they are now the spiritual temple that
correct.
Jesus was building, you know?
Right.
And that's the
right.
same thing for each one of us. We are the temple of God. And if there's anything else that's being sold, if you will, from within our temple, is there anything else that we're, serving, or anything else that we're compromising on? You know, that's Jesus' zeal will come against that. not against us necessarily, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit will come upon us to remove that from his temple, mm-hmm. remove that from the temple that God is building in us. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be sensitive to that. And as God wants to dwell our house, I mean, we can go out and we can try and evangelize, we can try and teach, we can try and preach all out of our own strength. And yes, you may have people who will, you know, be able to follow you and learn and grow from what it is that you are saying. But eventually will come a point where you will dry up or the work will become too much for you, because we can't do it in our own strength. Mm-hmm. There is no way we may be able to, you know, fake it, but we will never make it. You know what they say, fake it till you make it? Right. We can't fake it until we make it, because you can never make it on faking it in the kingdom of God. Jesus just won't allow it, you know what I'm saying? Because the zeal for his temple will overcome him. You know, it's going to overcome us, if you will. And the Holy Spirit will continue to bring us to a place. And you know, what I've learned over the years of my walk with the Lord, it's a lot easier to be obedient quickly than to learn the lesson that the Holy Spirit has for you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, buddy. My grandfather used to always tell me, a lesson bought is better than a lesson taught, right? But that's a worldly lesson. It's a lot easier to you have a lesson taught with the Holy Spirit than a lesson bought, because the Holy Spirit will not give up on us. He will not allow us. And it's not punishment, but it is to mature us. It is to grow us. It is to bring us to a place of holiness before him. And that's, and you know, I know that there's a difference between being in the world and being, and I know that you were bringing this up too, Raphael, Pastor Raphael, but you know, we're, how do we know that we're saved? You know, the big thing for me, and I remember reading this in the book of John, where when you're in the world, you want to sin. You're That's looking right. forward even to that night out on a Friday night out, hanging out with your friends, and you're looking forward to ways that you will now eventually sin. You don't consider it sin, but you're looking at ways that you'll party or have fun. When you come to the Lord, you no longer want to do those things. That even when you're in the midst of doing, you're already confessing, already asking the Lord to help you to be delivered from those things. And that's the evidence that we have that we are saved. And that's the evidence that God has now indwelt our house.
Right.
And the zeal for his house is overwhelming. And the zeal for his house is continuing to be brought upon us by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to urge you to don't just do the fast food thing with the Father. Me and Bridget actually saw that movie. And I'd encourage anyone to watch this movie. It's a movie that just came out in the theater. It's called Show Me the Father. It was brought out by the same guys who did Fireproof and Courageous and all that. It's in the movie theater. It's really awesome. It just shows the effect the Father has in recognizing your Father through the interaction of a earthly Father. But in all of that, you know, God wants to be our Father. More than anything else, he wants to be our Father. He's given us a desire, a yearning to be in that place where we see him as our Father, that loving, caring Father who wants to bring us from image to image and glory to glory. He did every bit of all of the work for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In dying at the cross, allowing, and you know, taking on. Jesus took on. This is just give you an example. Like, Jesus went to the cross. And you know, in our image of Jesus, Jesus was one of the strongest men that ever lived. He was one of the most courageous, probably the most courageous man that ever lived. Because if you think about what Jesus endured, even not just even the years of when everybody was trying to kill him and spit and do everything to stop him from preaching, but even when he chose to give up his life for those who he was intending on saving, they were beating him, they were spitting on him, they made him carry a cross, and in all of that, Jesus did not have one single bad thought towards those people. His love continued to extend for them. His heart's desire was still to forgive them. So, and he endured the cross. And as he endured that cross, I don't think any one of us in this room would be able to endure that cross and still stay 100% pure as Jesus did. There's not one of us that would be able to do that. And Jesus did that for us so that all the sins of the world would be forgiven. Right. Everyone's sins are forgiven. Right. Just you have to come and partake of that which Jesus has already done. Right. It's a free gift, and he's handing it out to everybody. And, you know, that is the good news of the gospel message that he wants us to deliver to each and every person who has not yet received it, you know? And as he indwells our house, he fills us with that zeal to share his house, his temple with others, not as one that's compromised, not as one that's selling anything that's imperfect, but something that's delivering and distributing the perfect word of God so that people's hearts, minds can be changed and set free, and they can enter in into the actual invitation that Jesus made at the cross. And now their house can also become filled by the Master. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a continuous thing. And even as Jesus was doing this, it was not just for the time, but it was to continue even after his death. Yeah. Because after his death, the disciples remembered what Jesus had said. That's and right. They remembered that he gave them a physical lesson on a spiritual existence. So it's the same for us today. Just continue to seek after God, to really sit in that quiet place. Mm-hmm. Take that time aside, because there's no other replacement for it. You cannot get it any other way. You can attend Bible study. You can attend men's prayer. You can attend church services. You will not get the actual, the download, if you will, or the actual relationship with the Father unless you spend time with him. Mm. Time with nothing else distracting you. That may take some time to practice. It may take some time to get used to being in that situation. But as you do, I guarantee you, there'll be an overwhelming desire to now sit there. Because once you meet with God, continue like that, once you start having that relationship with him, your desire will be to grow in that relationship and have it even all the more. So,
amen.
Praise God.
Yep. Amen.
Praise God.
You know, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's so powerful, because especially using these passages, Jesus is the transition point, right? John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. Jesus is introducing a new concept. Mm. The concept is that the old concept was that the temple was the place where God showed up and where they were to worship and they ministered. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was introducing the idea that the Spirit of God was going to come and indwell people.
Amen.
And that is what empowers us to be able to do that. You know, when you get saved, it doesn't mean that you become perfect automatically but what it does do is it means that you now have a desire to.
Amen.
You get a want to that you didn't have before. Before, you didn't really care. You could do whatever you wanted and it didn't bother you because you rationalized it in your own mind and it made sense to you and you were good with it. But when you come to Christ, now you have a sense of conviction and your want to, the desire within you that God gives you this, I want to do the will of God. I want to do what is right before God. I want to represent the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that is where the change begins.
That's right.
Once you have a desire to do what God is calling us to do, that's when you are now ready or able to be open so that God can pour into you. Until you reach that point where your heart's desire is open to doing what God wants you to do, God can't pour into you to empower you to do it. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is really awesome because that's exactly what Jesus is modeling and what he's representing here for us.
Yeah, and the awesome thing about it is it doesn't take work. Christ says, enter into my rest.
Right.
So let's rest in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? He's simply calling us to relationship. He's calling us to take that time aside and shut out the world and get with him. And once we do that, you know, we will start to have the not just the desire for more, but we will have the desire to actually reach those who God puts in our path. We will understand why it is that he's putting a certain person in our path. And now we'll have that continuous confirmation, a continuous drive by the Holy Spirit to actually reach that person. And then the joy that comes with seeing that person coming to the Lord.
Right.
You know, all of that is, you know, the joy just is contagious. You know what I'm saying? It's really addicting, if you will. You know what I'm saying? And that's a good addiction. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To want more of the Holy Spirit, to see what want more of the work of the Holy Spirit to go forth, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's the love, joy, peace,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Once you have the love, it leads to joy. If you don't have love, then you're not going to really have joy either.
No, you can't.
You know, you need to have all that. And you certainly won't have peace because the opposite of love is turmoil, right? Troubles, So, you know, you will experience all these things once you begin to do them. And that's what's so exciting about serving the Lord and doing what God calls us to do.
Amen.
Are there any questions? Anything anybody would like to ask us about about any of the things that we've covered over the summer or up to this point today?
Don't be shy.
Yes, Kevin. Kev.
I just wanted to ask the panel how is, or if you could explain your, if possible, your relation, like how you would go about your day with prayer and reading the word, and how you would go about when the obstacles come your way and try to distract you.
Yeah.
Question. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anybody want to jump on that? I mean, I'll take it if you
guys
feel like, go ahead.
My day always starts with, I try and get up at least 15, 20 minutes earlier than I should to start my day with the Lord. That's the start. You know, my question to the Lord is, Lord, what are we doing today? Mm. Not even what are you doing. What are we doing today, you know? And I take the time where I sit in my, the house is quiet when I get up. So I just sit in quiet time in the morning. And then the whole way through down, I'm driving in my car and I'm listening to the scriptures and I'm listening to worship music and I'm really preparing myself for the day, readying myself for the day. And as trouble or as any kind of dilemmas come my way, the first person I turn to is to the Lord, you know? And again, this is a learned thing. It wasn't something I did automatically. But it was something I learned to do. I would my normal routine would be to try and fix it, try and do everything I could, and then turn to the Lord when everything else failed. But I've learned that now, instead of me trying to do it and mess it up even more, just go straight to the Lord and rest in Him. You know, to really bring it to Him and present everything before Him and see how the Lord's going to do it. Because, you know, from that, the Lord is trustworthy. Mm. And we can trust Him to do everything we need Him to do. But so often we look and we see and we waiting for the Lord to respond. And sometimes the Lord may take a little longer than we would like Him to take. But that's to test us. Do we truly trust Him or do we want an answer?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes He won't give us the answer right away because He needs us to walk through whatever situation we're in. And then it's asking God to give you the strength to walk to so that you can walk through whatever it is, knowing that He will resolve it. But it's a growing period before He resolves it.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. And, you know, same thing in my life. When I got two babies, they don't let me sleep anyway. But I wake up, I don't know, sometimes I'm up at 6, sometimes I'm up at 7. When I've had a really long night here, I wake up at 8. And but the first thing that I do is I head down into my office. I work from home. So I go down into the office, I turn on my worship music, and I really try to just set the atmosphere, not just for my office, but for my home. And I always ask God, I'm like, Lord, you know, I just need you to be with me, but also be ahead of me. Because I want to make sure that when I'm walking, that I'm walking in footsteps that you've already taken, you know. In the military, when they're teaching you how to clear minefields, right? You always want to walk in the minefield, if you have to be in one, where there's already footsteps, right? Because if there are footsteps there, they didn't blow up, right? So long as you stay in those footsteps, you know that you're going to be all right. Now, if you get to a crater eventually, you can probably be pretty sure that there's not another bomb there because the person that was there before you took the blast, right? Now, thank God I know that Jesus already conquered death because He takes the blow for me and nothing happens to Him. Now, when I decide that I want to go take my own steps and then I get blown up, I can't get mad at God, right? And that's the importance of spending time with God first thing and daily, like Pastor Michal was saying, because we're gonna take hits as we walk through this life, right? It says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And everybody says that verse as if that there's never going to be a weapon that's formed against you. The verse says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say that no weapon will be formed. Right? So there are things out there, spiritual forces that we don't see that are tasked to be against us. And we need God
in the moment. We need God to go ahead of us.
Right.
If we, like Pastor Mio was saying, if we start praying when the problem hits, we're already praying too late.
Too late, right.
Right? We are already praying too late.
Right. It's after you've been shot.
Yeah, it's like, boom! Right. And it's like, oh, Lord, save me from this gunshot. When God was like, well, I was waiting for you to tell me to, you know, ask me to save you from the gunshot, period. You know? And it's tried and it's tested. And I have had situations at work, in my family, and just life in general, in ministry, where I'll be in the moment, and in that very moment, I want to respond. And then the Holy Spirit just reminds me, no, you sent me here, and I already have the answer. Right. Now listen to what I have to say before you say what you want to say.
Right.
And it's so critical.
I just want to add to that, though, because if you do receive the gunshot wound, mm-hmm. you can still heal from that. You know what I'm saying? It's not fatal. That's just something I just wanted to add to that,
absolutely.
Too. And sometimes we will. Even if we're daily before the Lord, we will still receive that gunshot wound because we can't be prepared for everything that comes our way.
Mm-hmm.
But just realize that when you do go to get that gunshot wound, even in the spiritual realm, just like the physical realm, there will be time for healing. Mm-hmm. There will be time where you'll be laid up and you won't be as effective as you would, as you could be in the kingdom of God, because you have now to take that time to heal and to actually be nurtured back to full strength. You know,
it just won't prosper.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Right.
You'll take the hit, but it won't prosper.
Yeah, you'll suffer the consequences of having missed.
Right.
I know time is running out on us here, you know, it's so important to understand that we're supposed to commune with God throughout the day. God already knows what's going to happen while you're going through your day.
Mm-hmm.
So what these guys are saying is exactly right, and we should all be doing that. But we also have to keep in mind that God is already gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like what Raphael is saying. We're following in the footsteps of Jesus, which means we have to be walking through our day with a discerning mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just be going along as if, you know, everything is all right, because we're literally going through a minefield. Every day is a minefield. There's always going to be something that Satan is going to try to use against you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be something that you're prone to because you like it, or it's part of your conditioning, or the way you grew up, the way you think. He's going to use all these things against you. And that's why we have to be discerning, so that we're not offended when somebody does something. And that goes back to what Michal was saying. Jesus was able to suffer and endure the beating without, being angry at the people who were nailing him to the cross.
Thank you, God.
And that's because he understood there was a spirit behind that.
Mm-hmm.
There was an entity who was at work that caused all of this. So it wasn't, you know, I don't blame my jacket or my pants for getting dirty when I go through a mud puddle or field or filthy place or dusty, dirty environment. I made that choice. So I had to go through that. Mm-hmm. So I can't get mad at my clothes. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we have to look at things. We can't get angry at people when people respond and react to things in the way that Satan has conditioned mankind to respond mm-hmm. and react. So we have to understand who we're dealing with, what we're dealing with, and be able to go through our day always sensing what the Holy Spirit is saying so that we can hear him. That's why that intimate, quiet time is important, so you get to know the voice of God, so you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so that as you're going through your day, you don't forget, but you're able to remember. And if you can remember to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he will direct your path. He will tell you, don't go that way, don't do that, don't say that, say this, or do that, and God will give you direction. And that's where the power and the strength comes from, and that's where your godly confidence will come in also, because you know the voice of God. Amen. And once you know the voice of God, you can go through your day. You can pray and say, God, give me favor with my clients as I'm interacting with people. I used to do that all the time when I was working in the city. And I would pray for everything to go well and decency and order and according to, a way that would give people a reason to seek God.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all knew I was a Christian. And they knew I was a pastor. I was a youth pastor at the time. And so when people know who you are as a Christian, they have expectations that you are going to be representing or living in the way of the kingdom of God. So that the power of God, they're going to be looking for the power of God to be evident in your life. Where is the proof of God being in your life? That's what the world is looking for. And that's why when they see Christians make mistakes, they're like, ah, I got you. You can't allow them to take you there. Know who you are, move forward in God, and allow God to manifest himself in your life. All right, so we're going to begin to wrap this up. I'm just going to take this. I see the worship team is ready to come in. But I just wanted to share this in closing. If LT, you could jump me to this last testimony, and then I'm going to share this passage with you. Go ahead.
I've been going to OCGF for about 4.5 years, almost 5 years now, and it has been a great impact on my life. Now that I'm a member and I've been serving with the preteen ministry, I can see just how intentional the leaders and pastors here are about investing in the young lives here. But also, it's not just about building these relationships with the youth or the families, but it's about investing in our lineage. And just I see the importance of what it means to just break generational curses and to bring that hope and liberty and truth to families. And so I think that's so important in the church. And I know how important it is to have community. So being a part of this community at OCGF with the young adults has been so amazing. I'm so in awe that there is a ministry for every single age group, down to even the ones and twos on Sundays. They're getting to hear about the love of Jesus Christ. So I'm just so grateful for OCGF and for all that it's done in my life in the past 5 years. And I just can't wait to be here for the next 5,000 more.
Praise God.
Praise God. And, you know, all of this is so that we can all grow, so that we can all navigate the challenges. We've all faced coronavirus and all these things. Satan desires to bring division. That's what he does. And, you know, even with this, there's division. Do I get a vaccine? Do I not get a vaccine? Do I go to church? Do I stay home? Do I, you know, wear a mask or do I not wear a mask? You know what? You know, we have all this stuff. We get caught up in all this stuff, but it's a distraction that Satan is using to bring down your effectiveness because you're robbed of your ability to tap into God's divine power and presence so that you can be strengthened and enabled to demonstrate the kingdom of God so that souls can't be won. And the whole idea is to be soul winners. That's what God has called us to be. And we have to all ask ourselves, how many people have I led to Christ during the pandemic? How many people have I shared my testimony or my story with during the pandemic? How many people did I pray for because they were discouraged or they were burdened and they were concerned and they were fearful and they had all these things? How many people have I actually reached out to? Because that is what God has called us to do. And that's who we are as the people of God. In John chapter 20, I'm just going to read 19 to 21. It says, so when it was evening on the day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, they were afraid. Here's that fear factor again. Jesus then came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Whenever God shows up, there's peace.
Amen.
The peace of God comes with him.
Amen.
And whenever the angels of the Lord show up, the peace of God shows up.
Amen.
And you and I have to learn how to stay in communion with God, Jesus, in the fellowship of Jesus,
Amen,
and of the saints, so that we can have the peace of God. It says, when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. That's a reminder. I have overcome. And you and I have to always remember Christ has overcome.
Thank you, Lord.
You have overcome. Don't be distracted by all this stuff. You are victorious. You are more than conquerors because Christ has conquered, because he has overcome. Hallelujah. And as long as we walk in him and in his ways, we too will see the manifestations of divine victory laid out in our lives. And so finally he says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.
Amen.
Saints of God, you are being sent of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is empowering you. Take up your shield of faith. Take up your sword of the Spirit. Allow these things that God has given us to be prevalent in your life. Apply these principles, and I guarantee you, you will have a different life experience. Don't let anyone hinder you. At best, people only know half the story. No matter how genuine they may be, they only know a part of the story. They don't know the whole story. And that's because the world does not tell you the whole story. So we can only trust in the Lord, in the Word of God, because God has given us the whole story. And we can trust what God is saying and what he is doing, and it will lead to a place of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, because the Spirit of God will be imparted to you. You will be strengthened. You will be enabled, and God will see you through, regardless of what is to come. And more is coming, and it's going to be even worse. But I tell you, Christ is able to see you through. Keep your eyes stayed on him, and you will have perfect peace. You will be enabled. You will be uplifted and sustained when you step out onto the water. Christ will hold you up, and you will be able to overcome every strategy of the enemy because Christ is in you, he's with you, and he has gone before you to make a way so that nothing that you would need to accomplish would be impossible. You will be able to achieve it and overcome it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're a mighty God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Mighty God.
Yes, you are.
Apart for the purposes of representing the kingdom of God. You and I are the people who God has ordained and called and renewed and revived and raised up. He died for us so that we might be able to persevere through all eternity, not just in this life, but in the life to come when Christ comes to reign, and he will be doing that very soon, I believe. And you and I will be able to experience what God has called us to do or has told us he will do as we walk faithfully before the Lord. I pray that you have been blessed today and that the Spirit of the Lord is working in you so that you would be raised up in the power of the Spirit of God so that you can operate in the wisdom of God to accomplish the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we thank you for all that was shared today. And I pray, God, that you would be lifted up and exalted in our lives. Bring all these things back to our remembrance as we have need of them as we go through the week, that we would be able to prevail with confidence in Jesus' name. We thank you, oh God. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship with you today. And I pray your hope is genuinely in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
You are a mighty God.